Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, taking the hairy shell of the internet, cracking into it with the hammer of humour and supping on the wonderful podcast milk within.
Coconuts.
Coconuts, welcome.
Benito looked very confused. Oh, no, it was coconuts.
Yeah.
That was Ed Gamble there, giving you a lovely intro. My name is James Acaster. This is the Off Menu podcast. We run a dream restaurant. We invite a guest every single week. We ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. And this week, our guest is...
Angela Hartnett. Angela Hartnett, a wonderful chef.
Yes.
A wonderful chef. She's been on TV lots and lots as well. She's been on things like MasterChef. She did Britain's Best Home Cook, I think was the name of the show. They did a celebrity version of that as well.
Oh.
And it turns out Ed Balls can cook.
Really?
Yeah. He's an amazing cook. But enough of that. Angela is an absolutely brilliant chef. She's got a couple of restaurants in London, I think. She's got Murano. She's got Cafe Murano.
Yeah.
And I would go to both of those. But also she has an absolutely brilliant book, which is out tomorrow, called The Weekend Cook.
Weekend Cook. Good food for real life.
Yes, which is important sometimes. I've got a lot of cookbooks where I read through them and I'm like, well, I'm never going to make that.
Yeah.
So to actually have a good cookbook by an amazing chef, which features recipes that you could do at home, very exciting. Look, just some of the examples of things. Wild garlic gnocchi, sausage rolls and apple tart.
Lovely. I mean, what more could you ask for? And you are right, that is the exact kind of cookbook that I want. It breaks my heart sometimes. You kind of get a cookbook, open it and go, I haven't got any of these things.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do whatever technique they've just described. This is a non-starter. And something like this, you go, great, I can get all these at the shop. I actually can follow this recipe easier than I expected to. And I'm pretty sure I can make the thing in the picture.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And I'll feel really great at the end and a big sense of achievement.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be great. I'm definitely going to cook stuff from this.
Yeah.
But regardless of all of that and Angela's brilliant background as a chef and her fantastic book, if she says a secret ingredient that we have decided upon in advance, we will remove her from the restaurant.
Sorry, Angela. And this week, the secret ingredient is kidney beans.
Kidney beans. James, I'm so glad this has finally come up.
Yes.
I think it's a slightly controversial opinion, but I hate kidney beans.
I don't like them. I mean...
I won't put them in a chili.
Oh,
if you don't like something, don't put it in a recipe. I don't like kidney beans. I'd rather put black beans in a chili. Mm-hmm. I love black beans. You know what? Sometimes I go full Texas style and there ain't no beans in it at all.
Are there no beans in a Texas chili?
Maybe not. Maybe I'm getting that wrong.
Feels like to me that they put baked beans in there.
Baked beans?
Yeah.
Heinz baked beans.
In a Texas chili.
Well, look, I was worried I might be wrong, but It's lovely to meet someone who's more wrong.
Yeah, always.
No, I'd almost go beanless, really.
Yeah.
Unless I can get black beans.
I think everyone should go beanless.
Yeah, I think beanless, especially when it's kidney beans. They're pasty inside. They're horrible.
Yvette Castor suggested that.
Yes, on Twitter. And, you know, James, if you want to suggest secret ingredients, you should just come to us. You don't need to make up Twitter accounts.
Ms. E. Castor. Spelled with a Y.
Yeah, Miss Y Castor.
But yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, just suggest them in future, James. You don't need to make up any Twitter accounts, okay?
I don't know. It worked. It clearly worked.
It did work. Kidney beans is a secret ingredient. So as you can see, if you send in secret ingredients, we will possibly use them. So if you want to get your secret ingredients to @offmenuofficial on Twitter, that would be absolutely wonderful. We will potentially use your suggestions as a secret ingredient. I am on tour starting in September. It is the extension of my tour that is called Electric. I'm going all over the place. It's been a lot of fun. I can't wait to do the September dates. If you're in London, I'm doing the Hammersmith Apollo on October 22nd. I'm finally coming over to Dublin and Belfast, so come to those. It's been a lot of fun, and I can't wait to do more.
Go and see the show. I was going to say it's a great show, but I'm going to come and see it on that leg.
Come see it at the Apollo. edgamble.co.uk for tickets.
Fantastic. Also, you can pre-order my book, James Acaster's Guide to Quitting Social Media, Being the Best You Can Be and Curing Yourself of Loneliness, Volume 1. Order it wherever you get your books.
I was going to say it's a great book, but I've not read it yet.
Oh, that's great.
I can't wait.
Synergy.
Can't wait. But for now, this is the off-menu menu of Angela Hartnett. Welcome, Angela, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I'm just floored there. You struck me. Yes, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Welcome, Angela Hartnett, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Here we are.
Very happy to be here.
In the Dream Restaurant, you get to come to a Dream Restaurant. You don't have to cook in the Dream Restaurant unless
Marvelous.
You want to.
No, I don't. I definitely don't. Definitely want a night off. Day off, week off, months off even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, am I sounding bitter and twisted?
At home, are you the one cooking? Because, of course, your husband's also a cook.
What?
Yes.
Who is this guy?
Neil. Yeah, he could. No, we take it in turns. I mean, not like there's no rota or anything, you know, we're not like that. But, you know, if I'm cooking something easy and quick, I'll just do it and then he'll do one night. But to be fair, we're only cook really at the weekends because most of the time we're either out eating or we're off at work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is probably the quickest link into a book that we've ever managed to do. It's just worked out perfectly. You only cook at weekends.
Oh, there you
go. Well, let's talk about your new book, The Weekend Cook.
The chance you have a coffee. Oh, amazing.
That was very good.
So this is, I guess, the heart of the book is it's the things that you would cook at home.
Yeah, it really is. And to be fair, there's some nights or days when we've had people over and we've gone overboard with cooking, mm-hmm. like we've done, like brought the restaurants to the home. And there's other times it's just a bowl of pasta or a simple salad or, you know, I mean, I do partake in a lovely crisp sandwich every now and again. I mean, that's not in the book, but, you know, I think we all know how to do that one.
But I bet you bring some little stuff to crisp sandwiches that might be interesting to hear. So if you want to tell the listener now.
To be fair, it's got to be white bread, mm-hmm. proper rubbish white bread, you know what I'm saying? None of that sourdough nonsense, you know, just proper standard white bread, butter. And then plain crisps, no flavoured crisps.
Well, okay.
And my fellow chef, Chris, who works for Paul Ainsworth, I heard him the other day saying put brown sauce in it. Never in your life. Such a no-no. I mean, who the hell puts brown sauce? You put that in a bacon butty or a chip butty. You do not put it in a crisp sandwich, sorry.
Are you buttering a crisp sandwich?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. As many calories
salted
as you
butter?
Can. Yeah. Salted butter you can put in there. Salted butter, salted crisps, heart attack sort of food after a hangover sort of, you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
I know what you're saying. There's a lot of I was looking at the book a minute ago, and like Tom Kerry just said how brilliant it is. Stanley Tucci. I was wondering, do chefs use each other's cookbooks at home? Do you have cookbooks by other chefs that you use?
I do actually. Yeah, I have quite a lot. I've got Tom's books.
Thank you, Ed.
Very good, very good. I love. I tell you, he's a great food writer. I love is the guys from Honey and Co.
Yeah,
Itamar. He's fantastic. I love Valentine Warner. I think his cookbooks are great. River Cafe. Yeah, I do actually. You dip in and out.
Yeah.
There's no one. I mean, the goddess is Delia, without doubt.
Yeah.
Because I tell you for why, all her recipes work.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope to God all of those too, because my mum's always saying, do you check these recipes? Are you sure they're right? I said, yeah, I think so. But, even I'm like, have I missed out an ingredient? But Delia's, like Mary, they test and test and test. They're so thorough. You know, if you want a recipe that you suddenly go, I want Yorkshire pudding, it's going to work, you go to Delia, without doubt.
Oh, that's good.
Very nice.
I've tried using, I bought Tom Kerridge's Hand and Flowers
book. Oh, yeah.
And even when I told him that I had that, he went, oh, you're never going to manage anything out of that. And I looked at him and I was like, well, of course not, because I don't have a blast chiller at home.
Don't you have your sous vide machine? Of course.
Guess what we discovered recently in my flat? The chorizo broccoli pasta.
This is one of James's recipes.
Okay.
Me and my girlfriend make chorizo broccoli pasta all the time, probably twice a week. It's our favourite dish.
Lovely.
We absolutely love it.
Any particular broccoli, may I ask, or just, you know?
Well, kind of like your standard broccoli, but it's the stems, not the head. So you just chop the stems
Nice,
up.
Nice, I like that. Crunchy. No wastage. Yeah, good.
So you do the stems.
Oh, no, then he throws all the rest of the broccoli away. Yeah,
that's what's great about it. We're used to, here's the thing, Angela, is this an interesting story?
Yes.
We're used to, how are we going to use these stems? So then we got this recipe and we did that. And now we're like, how are we going to use these heads?
That is an interesting
story.
That's
how much we love this.
Stunning.
I most of them up in the weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Marvellous.
But we know it so well. We were like, where have we even got this recipe from? Didn't know. Yeah. Tom Kerridge.
Tom Kerridge.
Oh, really? It's a Tom Kerridge recipe. But
you put chilli in there as well, a bit of garlic.
Chilli, garlic. Capers.
Capers, nice,
Obviously chorizo.
Yeah, obviously chorizo.
And I always forget the name of the pasta that we prefer. But I only have it in chorizo broccoli pasta.
Do you use the main bit of the chorizo or is it like the stems? Do you use the metal on the end?
Yeah, the metal.
All that in.
It's like a 20p in a Christmas pudding.
Yeah.
Okay, very nice.
We let them be in there.
The chorizo.
Yeah, you're lucky to get the old metal bits.
God, can't wait to come to your house.
I'll make you chorizo broccoli pasta. Because that was one of the things I was going to do at one point. We jokingly said on the podcast, I don't know when, that I would make chorizo broccoli pasta for Tom Kerridge.
Yeah.
But then I didn't know at the time it was his recipe. So
right,
now I'm really scared.
You'll be fine. Add your own interpretation. That's the great thing about recipes. Mm. There's no copyright.
Yeah,
so literally, you know, I mean, you can see it sometimes that people have just changed one ingredient or something and suddenly it's their recipe. So claim it as your own, you know. Add something into it.
I mean,
Put a bit of parsley.
A bit of parsley in there. Oh, no, I wouldn't be so bold. Have you ever had anyone make one of your recipes for you?
I don't know, actually. I think people have. I mean, my family have done stuff like that. They've tried stuff, and friends have. But I love it when people cook for me. I think it's just one of the best things because you're working all the time and it's a real treat, actually. And it's only when we're in the cab home that we bitch about it. We're very polite when we're there. It's amazing. So, how did you do this? And then, what was that?
Absolutely. You know? come dine with me on the cab on the way home. Hold up your little number.
Yeah.
Why is Andrew and her husband bought number cards? Very odd.
Come dine with me when it shows them in the cab. Just giving the two when they've been so nice. I go, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
We always start with still or sparkling water.
Sparkling. I do like sparkling water. Yeah, I don't know why, but I've always liked it. I just think it's nice, refreshing, bubbly. Mm-hmm. I find it thirst quenching.
Are you drinking it at home?
Do drink it at home. We've been very sustainable and bought one of those soda streams now, so we do our own, you know, which is good. Don't buy the bottle. It does work, except when obviously the soda thing runs out and then it's flat water. But I like it.
James always asks if it works because got sent a soda stream machine.
Oh, did you?
And I like the soda stream machine, and James said it didn't work because he was doing it wrong and it was spraying all over him every single time.
I wasn't doing it wrong. They sent me a broken one. I wasn't doing it wrong.
Did you attach the bottle properly, James?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, are you sure?
I don't want to attach a bottle. I don't think he did it right. It doesn't work. It flooded my whole kitchen.
Right, okay. Would you like me to come and show you how to make one to do, you know?
Well, good luck if you... Good using that piece of junk. It's a hunk of junk.
Okay, all right. But I quite like my soda stream, if you're listening.
You clearly didn't get a faulty one.
I feel like SodaStream are going to be happier that Angela's on board with it rather than you, to be honest.
Well, you know, we'll see. If that's what it takes to operate a SodaStream, you have to be a professional chef and actually understand the entire culinary world.
Yeah.
I'm the everyman.
Yeah, you are the everyman.
So, SodaStream are going to be like, oh, maybe,
They've made it too complicated. Just attach the bottle, press the button.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a challenge.
Forgot to make it operable for people with no opposable thumbs.
Well, come on. Come on, let's not slag off the thumbs. That's exciting. So when people come in, like when you've had like people come into like restaurants and stuff,
yeah,
and you're looking at them and the customers, you judge them if they order still a sparkling water? Do you ever?
No.
Are you like, oh,
are you very judgmental about water, you two? I'm feeling there's something underneath
some
here.
Some guests are that we have on.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Some guests are like, oh, la-di-da, sparkling water. Some people are like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to go Poncy and have a sparkling water. You know,
God,
they really,
it's
there's
just
a lot
water.
Of weird stigma attached to
I
it.
I mean, to be fair, I like the tap. You know, I'm all for the Thames tap water. I think that's the best. That's
always
what
we're, tap.
I mean, it's not like I go and get special water to put in the soda stream. It's out of the tap. I just make it bubbly. That's all I do. But no, you've got me feeling guilty.
Is there a bit of judgment with, okay, so here's, if I go to a really nice restaurant, regardless of how nice the restaurant is, when I've been to Murano, love your restaurant.
Thank you.
I will always go in and I'll say, do you want any water? And I always go, tap.
Yeah.
The server always looks a bit crestfallen as if to say, well, they're not spending any money.
Yeah. There's probably that thing.
Getting a freebie straight away.
No, you shouldn't. Well, hopefully they're trained enough that they don't do that because, you know, at the end of the day, it's what people
I'm always
want
looking
thinking.
For that.
Yeah,
though.
You're looking. Yeah. It's probably the way you go, tap, you know, very aggressively, I might add. Yeah. You know, maybe it's more that than the fact they've said tap water. But yeah, I can get it. And I know there's certain people that will come in and exactly that. They want tap because they think there is a markup on water. Of course there is. You know, it's where you're making the money. We have to make some money. Mm. But that's where they'll definitely go tap like that. So yeah, all right. I think I'm going tap now. Jeez, you didn't even offer tap, you two. You made it Poncy by saying sparkling or still.
We're doing it just like all the restaurants. Exactly. They never offer the freebie.
We always offer tap. All right, he's going to check on that now. Get a letter next week.
I don't blame you for not. If you don't offer tap, why would you offer the freebie? It's like going around going, have you looked at the menu? Or would you like some free food that I've got in the kitchen? You have my lunch if you like.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, exactly. You want staff food.
End of the chorizo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, please.
Nice.
Pop it up some bread.
Oh.
Pop loads of bread, Angela Hartnett. Pop
bread,
loads of bread.
Bread, without doubt. Bread. That got shouted at me earlier as well.
Someone else shouted at
you? Yeah, one of Neil's chefs in the kitchen.
I was
like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm preparing you. And I went, oh my God, all right. Josh, I said, calm down. Yeah, it freaked me out slightly. No, definitely bread. Yeah. I love bread. I love poppadoms as well, mind you, but I just do. And because of my background, of the Irish background on my dad's side, but Italians on my mum, bread was their lifeline.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
The Italians eat bread through the whole of the meal. It barely even stops at dessert. Bread is there from start to finish. The Irish love a good bit of bread. And yeah, and that's my biggest two things I really would struggle to give up. I could give up meat tomorrow, booze and bread. And even I walk in the restaurants and we have this amazing focaccia and stuff. And I literally will just walk over, take a bit of salami, slice it, make myself a little panini,
oh, yeah,
and then walk around the kitchen. Oh, morning. And I've just, and you do that in four restaurants. No, I can't be sylph-like. It's never going to happen. And it's, you know, it's a killer because, you know, I don't know, it's delicious. Yeah, it is so good.
I love the idea of you walking into your own restaurant and just making a sandwich and walking around like, hey, guys, how's it going?
Morning.
Chit and chat, what are you up to? Checking on the stuff. Yeah, it's, just, you know, and you do munch away, you know, and you, like, we have breadsticks, you eat a few of that, you know. I mean, it's really difficult to give it up. The only way I don't eat is if I don't buy it. If I buy it, I'm basically buggered, you know. And there's too many nice bakers in London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah.
If it's in the fridge, I'm eating it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah.
Are you keeping bread in a fridge?
Oh, no. I mean, anything.
Just checking. Yeah, no, I'm with you there. If it's there, I'll eat it.
I often think, as long as I don't have things in the house, that's fine. But then, unfortunately, because of this podcast, we regularly get sent things.
Oh, of course you do, yeah.
And I got back from a tour show last night. It was about midnight. Mm. And I thought, well, I'm going to bed. I've got just got to go to bed. And then I saw a little box that was on the doorstep. And James's sister has started a flapjack company and sent loads of flapjacks.
Nice.
So I just stood, and there was four different types of flapjack. And I stood in my coat and shoes still. And tried a bit of each of the flapjacks. Yeah, that's a nice one. Very good.
Yeah, nice.
Coffee,
check.
Delicious. Peanut butter, delicious. Yeah. Marzipan, amazing.
That's I said it was my favourite one. I told you that.
Yeah,
that is the best one.
My favourite was the chili and lime and chocolate.
Oh yeah, that's the most popular.
Chili,
one.
Lime and chocolate. Yeah. Wow, that's an interesting combination.
That's the most but that's going. If it's in the house, that is going.
Yeah. That's it. That's the problem. If you got it there, you'll eat it. So just don't buy it.
Yeah.
But then you can't live your life like not buying stuff and eating stuff. So yeah, forget it. I've given up trying. So,
what sort of bread are you going for in the dream restaurant then? Would you like a sort of combo of the Irish and Italian?
I think, I tell you who does a great combo of breads is old Mr. Corrigan, if you haven't had him on. He does a great soda bread, which I think is delicious, because soda bread is one of those breads that's great fresh. It can also be a couple of days stale, then you can toast it. And it's also soaks in the butter when you spread it on there. So I love soda bread. And then I love focaccia because I love that crunchiness. I'm not so fussed about having brown bread or anything like that. And I have to say, controversially as I may say, I'm slightly over sourdoughs. I'm done with them. I've just, you know, if anyone gives me another sourdough sandwich that's so thick and toasty, you can't actually be going to break your teeth on it. It's like, you know, there's reasons that you want a white bat for a bacon sandwich because that bread works and it's, you know, it soaks up all the fat and stuff. So, I'm over the sort of sourdoughs.
Got a bit emotional then.
Sorry, you're in love.
No.
Oh, right.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I was like, finally, someone's coming on here and saying it. Because, like, I'm sick of it.
Well, it's everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, it's too much. And, you know, and there's great ones. God, yeah, I've got some great friends with bakers who make it. But it's just, like, enough now. Just, I like bread for the right reasons. Like I say, a white bread for certain things. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. It's good white bread.
It's when something becomes the default, it's time to move away. Like, I'm sure we all remember a time when you could get unsalted caramel.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. Well, but amen to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Amen to that.
I love salted caramel.
Yeah, but it'd be nice to have the option, right?
Yeah, sure.
We like options in life.
I don't even know if my brain would know the difference now. I think if I ate unsalted caramel, my brain would just fill it in and put some salt in there. I'd trick myself.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, this must have salt in it. And then I just tell myself I was eating salted caramel, so I've forgotten what that tastes like. Let's get onto your menu proper then. Your dream starter. Was this difficult for you being a chef?
It was horrible. Yeah, because there's so many dream starters. I mean, I, you know, depending mood, occasion, where you are. But I've thought about it, and then I was thinking of my main course, and, you know, because you want sort of a meal that's going to work together. And so I came up with actually a really delicious, simple bowl of pasta with chili tomato sauce, garlic in there, fresh basil, probably like a puttanesca with capers, black olives in there. So nice and spicy. Delicious tomato flavour, loads of olive oil. It's a go-to dish. It's the pasta I love as a course, and, you know, and the bread can mop up the sauce, capata, that sort of thing. And, yeah, that would definitely be. And it can be eaten anywhere. You can have it up in the mountains if you're up in the mountains. I don't know why I said that. But all by the sea or sitting in your flat in East London, you know, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, it's – and actually that dish you can – it's all staples.
Yeah.
Everyone's got capers, olives, all that sort of stuff in their fridge. And anchovies, of course. Great anchovies. You know, or I would even just have a bowl of pasta with butter and parmesan. I mean, just that is – bloody delicious.
I love a puttanesca.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This proper kicks you in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
So many different flavours.
Yeah, it is the best. Great. I'm just sitting there by the sea eating it. Yeah, it's great. Mm. That would be my go-to starter.
I got a tin of anchovies I still need to use up because when I had COVID in January 2021, our friends, Amy and Nish, did a shop for me. I'd filled out what I wanted, and they just chucked a tin of anchovies in there as a
controversial
bonus. Without asking me, there's a little bonus item in there for
did
you.
Did they charge you for that anchovies? Was it a gift or was it a chargeable gift?
I paid for that.
You paid for those anchovies?
No, I think they paid for it for me, and then when they had COVID, I was like, hey, I can pay you back now, I can get you the shopping, and they were like, no, we're all right. They had COVID recently when it was like, everyone just running around anyway. Yeah.
You should have just gone over to the house and posted the tin of anchovies.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I was tempted to do it. I think now it's too late for the joke. I've still got it in the cupboard.
So you're not using anchovies?
Well, they put two tins of anchovies in there. Mm. And I have used one of them. And I think I chucked it on a pizza. I think I pimped up a pizza I was making.
Yeah.
And just chucked it on there. But like, because you had made that nice pizza with the anchovies on it, with the lamb. But I didn't have lamb.
You know, you can put it on your broccoli dish.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Even the tops of your broccoli, which are sort of building up in your kitchen because you don't know what to do with them, you can roast those off, a bit of olive oil or a bit of butter in a pan, you know, slice them up, add your anchovies, let that melt down so you've got like an anchovy butter, a bit of chilli in there, and that's a great salad for you.
Maybe I should do that tonight.
There you go.
Or put them on toast.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just nice toast, lovely butter, or even no butter, or just the anchovies and the oil as well. It's delicious.
Oh, I'll do it tonight.
Yeah, supper for you. There you go, James.
Yeah, I'll do that. So it's just me tonight. Just me on my own.
Just you on your own.
Eating anchovies and watching Moon Knight.
Yeah, actually, maybe if it's just you on your own tonight, you shouldn't eat a tin of anchovies. That would feel pretty sad.
Oh, no, but it's okay when, like, you know, when you're in a relationship.
When she's coming back.
Yeah. Then it's like, oh, good, I get to be tragic for an evening on my own. You know, nice break from the happiness.
Yeah. She'll love it, yeah.
That sounds great.
Okay, happy with
fresh
that.
Basil as well is always exciting to me.
Yeah, I like fresh basil, yeah. Or even parsley. If you haven't got basil, that's fine, but parsley's good. Bit of flat leaf in there would work, I think.
I used to work in, not... like proper kitchens, but
okay.
Kitchens.
I thought you were going to tell me a greengrocer's there.
I used to work in a parsley farm.
Okay,
but like, I had to chop parsley all the time.
Yeah,
because I was, you know, that was my level.
Yeah, okay.
And
well, you're the mash king as well.
I was also the mash king. I was the best mashed potato in town.
Yeah. Did you? What do you put? Milk, cream, butter,
cream,
butter. Controversial.
Cream, butter.
Do you put the butter in first?
I put butter in first.
Yeah.
Give it a bit of a mash.
Yeah.
Dump all the cream in. Yeah. Actually, though, salt and pepper would go in before.
Yeah,
the cream.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then dump all the cream in, mash it again. Then loads of orange cheese.
Orange cheese.
Well, you know, like. Orange colour cheese. Cheddar.
Okay, cheddar.
Orange cheddar cheese.
Orange cheddar cheese. That's an interesting one.
Chuck that in.
Yeah.
Mash it up, and then everyone will call me.
I love the mashing up like
yeah,
this.
Just like, two-handed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Two-handed. Yeah.
Kettering
two-handed,
style.
Just beat it up. No mashes in my hand.
And everyone loved it.
Everyone would say, you are the mash king.
You are the mash king.
Yeah, now some guests have suggested that it was a job that no one else wanted to do, and so I got called the mash king, so
I'm
that not, I would
I'm
do
saying
it
nothing.
More.
I'm saying nothing.
But
okay.
I think, you know, honestly... You know, there were days when I would go in and someone else had done the mash in the morning.
It wasn't as good.
I'd have a little bit of it. I'd be like, that is lumpy.
Yes, that's it.
I don't like that.
Not enough orange
cheese.
Flavor,
yeah. Not enough orange cheese.
And it's lumpy because they put the cream and milk in first. You've got to put the butter in first.
Yeah.
Then that avoids the
is
lumps.
Is that right?
Yes.
That
well,
get
I didn't
all your
even
lumps
know I was
out.
Doing that. Instinct.
You were doing it right. Instinct, you see. You're a natural. You're a natural, James.
Natural at it. It's pretty good. Also, you've got to get the orange cheese just right so it doesn't. You don't want it tipping over into making the mash orange. So you got to get it just right so that it doesn't colour the mash, but you get the cheesy flavour in there.
Yeah.
Do you agree with the orange cheese full stop?
I mean, if I'm honest, no. I've got to be honest with you there. The orange. The fact that you're calling cheddar orange when it's clearly yellow most of the time.
Yeah. This is orange cheddar
cheese. This is orange cheddar cheese. All right, okay.
Like Red Leicester.
Right,
probably.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
But in Kettering, we call it orange cheddar.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Okay, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
I'm sure it adds a lovely flavour, but you don't want orange mash, do you?
No. So you could
substitute it with like a stronger cheddar that is less orange?
Yeah, you could.
Okay.
You know, just go your own way with it, really.
Ad lib a bit, A bit of parmesan, or is that too much? That controversial?
I know, I put parmesan. I mean, you know, parmesan goes in the treats of broccoli pasta at the end.
Oh, yeah,
so, you know,
okay, all right. You're a parmesan
he's
lover.
Parmesan.
He's
not
against
that.
Yeah. Fabulous.
I love putting some parmesan.
All right, Mash King.
Thank you. Thank you. She admitted it.
But you were chopping the...
Parsley. I don't ever use parsley in anything because it makes me feel like I'm back in the kitchen again working.
Oh, right. So it's trauma related
then. I don't like
then.
It,
okay,
yeah.
That's fair enough. Okay.
I like it,
but parsley would work in your broccoli chorizo pasta.
It?
Yeah, it would, yeah.
Well, it's never going anywhere near it.
But you don't have to chop it. You can just pick the leaves and just throw it in at the end.
Yeah.
Obviously, I feel there's something deeper here that we need to talk to maybe off sort of microphone, lying, you know, down, that you need to sort of get it all out of your system, whatever they made you do with that parsley, you know. Anyway.
I mean, I was good at that as well.
Yeah.
You know, you balance it, you know, press down on the knife on one end and you need to use it as a pivot, go all over it, get it really fine. But satisfying.
Yeah.
Satisfying when it's like the crunch of the parsley when you're chopping
get
it up.
Get all your problems out on the parsley.
I'd be thinking about, oh man, I'm going to be in a band one day and this place will eat my dust, you know.
Yes.
That's what I'd be thinking when I was chopping the parsley.
God, I'm desperate to know where you're working now. Who's going to eat your dust?
Yeah. Oh, the star in Geddington and the trading post in Kettering.
There you go.
But, you know, still, good places.
Have you been back and done an act there?
Not done an act there, but like, I mean, the trading post I haven't been back to. It's like a chain, I don't know, Hungry Horse or something.
Okay, right.
But like,
I mean,
you know.
What are you talking about, Hungry Horse? What are you,
they're
going
to be like so full to, you know, Friday night now after they hear this. It's
What's a hungry horse?
It's a chain of like family pubs.
It's Kettering. That's all we're saying.
They got a soft play area.
Got a Hungry Horse.
That's why the cheesy mash for all these hungry kids.
I don't know if it was Hungry Horse, but like it was one of those kind of, it was a soft play area. And
when
it was
they do
like,
mash and it's the hungry. Does it,
well, no, they didn't do mash at that one.
No,
I didn't do mash at that one. I did mash at the Star.
Right.
Different chef now, but the chef who was there at the time was really good.
Yeah.
And, it was like a family-run pub. I don't know who owns it now, but I was back there. Within a month, I've been back at the Star at the village pub quiz.
Nice.
Oh, don't tell me Hungry Horse have taken over the Star.
No, never. They would never do that.
Trampled their hooves all over the rest of Kettering.
Don't even joke. They wouldn't. They would never give up the star to anyone like that. It's been for a lot of owners over the years. But yeah.
Maybe you should go back and, you know, invest in it, you know. Get a little village, all of you together.
Nice. Word has it, Ridley Scott was in there recently.
Whose word?
Well, someone at the Star came up to me and said...
There's a man who looks remarkably like Ridley Scott, but not getting health shots, is he, Ridley Scott?
I was at the quiz. I was sitting with my family in the quiz team.
Yeah.
And a lady was going around selling the raffle tickets. Yeah. And a man came over while the lady was selling raffle tickets and said to me, guess who was in here the other day? Ridley Scott. I never met the man.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, he was like, Ridley Scott was in here. Mm. And then the lady went, who the bloody hell's that? And I just
then
explained
someone
to her
says,
that,
it's the guy who's two doors down the road.
Yeah. I said, he directed Alien. And she's like, what's he doing in here? Oh, well, he's allowed to be in here. If you direct Alien, place. You're allowed to go to the Star.
When I worked in a pub in Raines Park, I went in after a day off and they went, you never guess who we had in here. And it was an awful pub.
Mm.
They went, Louis Walsh came in for a couple of points. I went, no, he didn't. Why is Louis Walsh coming in here for a couple of points? They went, I've got it on CCTV because we kept the CCTV because a woman went mad and flipped a table over and you can see Louis Walsh in the background. And I looked at the CCTV and it's literally the back of a man's head with grey hair. And like, that is not Louis Walsh.
It is Louis.
Just like a woman going, wah, flipping a table.
Oh my God. Brilliant. I love it.
When I moved into my flat, the guy who works in the building, he said to me, there's a harvester, door to door. I'd say it's a minute walk from my flat.
Yeah, that's why I moved there.
Yeah. I've never been there still.
Have you not? I was on a date at Harvester once.
Well, yeah.
Back in the day. It's all right.
Yeah. I mean,
we're not married, put it like that. We never went much further than our date at the Harvester, but, you know, you can't judge, can you?
Was this before you were a chef?
Before I was a chef. I was sort of still probably at college and stuff there, but yeah, before.
You're not taking a chef on a date to a Harvester, surely.
I mean, you know, I was taken to a pizza place on a date when I was a chef, or still am a chef. And they put pineapple on the pizza. I never went out with him again afterwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, certain rules. You've got to have your standards, James.
Like pineapple
on pizza. Oh, my God.
Like pineapple on
pizza. We're going to fall out, aren't we, really? I better get my coat now.
I also put pineapple in my Nando's wrap.
Now, I've never had a Nando's, so I can't comment on that. I cannot comment on that. But pineapple on pizza, we need to go out and have pizza together. You need a little education on that one, James. Next you'll be telling me chicken and coriander.
Chicken, coriander and pineapple pizza. That's his favourite.
The guy from the building was like, have you been to the Harvester yet? I went, no. And he went, I'll tell you who's always in there. I said, who? And he went, Paul Sinner. Paul Sinner is a comedian who was also the Cinnamon on The Chase. And I was like, there's no way. I know Paul. There's no way he's going to that Harvester regularly. He's like, he's always in there. Like, no, he's not.
He might have been there once, maybe.
Wrong. He's always in there. There's no way. Paul is a man of, he has exquisite taste.
We need to get Paul on and ask him about that.
We need to get Paul now. Make a note of that, Benito.
Doing there, take him there.
Book Paul.
To record it at the Harvester.
This is him. Oh no, don't I get anything like him?
He's
exactly.
Never been in
him. Never met him before in my life.
That's the guy from The Chase.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good
or a digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day. And even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes. My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your main course.
Main course is I'm sure someone said it. Roast chicken. I just absolutely love it.
Tell you who said it. Claudia Winkleman, who said this is a brilliant cookery book by a brilliant woman about the Weekend Cook by Angela Hartnett.
Oh, love you, James. Love you. it's just the best thing, isn't it? You know, on every level, the juices, the meat, all the accompaniments, and it doesn't always have to be a classic roast accompaniment. It doesn't have to be roast potato, all the vegetable, all that. You could just have roast chicken, sage and onion stuffing. You can have it with French fries, the gravy. I love the way Hicks used to do it with his sort of, you know, you had the roast chicken, you had loads of French fries and Bernays sauce you know, chicken sauce. And so anything like that. And chicken, and actually chicken's probably my favourite meat. Like, I'll do it in sort of bread-crumbed and fried chicken burger, chicken wings, pretty much chicken, you know. Yeah. So anything chicken orientated, but certainly just your classic roast chicken, sage and onion stuffing, lemon up its bottom, thyme, loads of rosemary, garlic all in there. So when the garlic slowly cooked in the juices, you squeeze that all over the chicken. Oh, and the one that a friend of mine did it when his restaurant, Ed at Braun, when it came and he used to serve this roast chicken, he'd put the bread underneath so it would soak all the juices. You just had like this chickeny bread soaked. I mean, it was just delicious. Or I like it when people put the potatoes underneath so all the fat of the chicken soaks onto them and roast them. You're salivating
there, Ed. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, I really am. I love a roast chicken.
You're right. It's the best.
At home, if we do roast chicken, we'll just do it with, like, Greek salad or something. And and then it's like a proper nice midweek thing. You don't need to kill yourself with all the sides and all of that.
No. I think you've got to be in that mood to do all the roast and stuff. Neil does it where he chops it all down and then literally has... And it's that sort of leftover in the fridge. So he'll take any veg, chop all that up. If there's some tomatoes, we'll throw those in, a bit of chili, garlic. He just puts that in a pan, slightly roasts all the veg off, then puts the chicken on once he's browned the skin and just puts the whole lot in the oven. And that's it. So all the juice is cooked with the veg. And then it just goes on the table. Oh, that's great. It's just one pot and it's so easy and simple to do. You know, he does that great thing like a chef. He just pulls things out of the fridge again. And this, how long has this been in here? I said, just put it in the chicken. Yeah. And this, who bought this? I said, we're not at work now, Neil. No stock take needed, all right? Simmer. Yeah,
that sounds delicious.
Sounds so good. I did a roast chicken for my nephews.
Yeah.
And they could not get over the fact I'd put a lemon up its bum.
Really?
Oh, yeah. For a kid, that's mind-blowing, right?
They were like, what is going on here?
You should have gone, and now for the orange, the grapefruit. Yeah.
And then for a while after that, they kept on threatening to put lemons up people's butts. Because they thought that was a thing. So, which is good, because it made a change for them threatening, because for a while, the main threat was that they'll blow up your house.
Okay.
And then they changed it to put a lemon up your bum.
Yeah,
both worrying in their own ways. I'd imagine there's a little call from a teacher regardless.
Do we need Childline here? Should we do something?
They threatened to blow up my house.
Yeah.
They go, okay, good news. They stopped doing that. Yeah. They threatened to insert a lemon up the anus of another child.
Nice. They went to do a bunch of sketch, because when I'd done the chicken and they'd been eating it all, but like obviously the carcass was there with the lemon still in there, and they wanted to film a bunch of sketches of them There's every sketch consisted of them walking into the kitchen and then noticing that there was a lemon up the bum of the chicken. and then calling out to me as if I wasn't in the room, going, "Why have you done this? Why is there a lemon up the bum of the chicken?"
It's great, though, isn't it?
It's entertaining.
Popping a lemon up the butt of the chicken.
Yeah.
I think a lemon in anything is really good. I think it's just delicious. And, again, it's that whole sort of squeeze it over the end of it. And that's the whole point about, I mean, you two know that better than anyone. Just keep it simple. Don't mess around with it. Don't try and be too clever and just do something that's just easy. And that's the thing I like cooking at home. And, you know, I don't know whether you've gone to people's houses and they not show off, but they're going over the board. Mm-hmm. But then they spend the whole time in a kitchen having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just do something that's, you know, is already set in the fridge for dessert. Easy, you know, cold starter and one pot wonder, I call it. Just put it on the, you know, and I screw up quite a lot when I'm cooking at home.
Oh, really?
I did it. I mean, I did this once that I basically had all my family coming over and I thought, oh God, I just haven't got it. So I literally ran to the local supermarket, bought all these different varieties of gazpacho, mixed it all in together, seasoned it with loads of cherry tomato. I bought basil and olive oil. And anyway, so I served all this gazpacho and they were like, oh, delicious, Angela, so lovely. Michael's like, how do you do it, my brother? I said, oh, yeah, I'm married and I eat it overnight. You know, you have to do that, chop everything really fine and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and we live in this sort of terrace house, but kitchen's in the bottom, but we're eating up the next floor. And so everyone always helps clear plates downstairs. So my friend cleared it. She opened the dishwasher and sees all these plastic, you know, gazpacho containers. And she goes, what's sadder? The fact you literally have barefaced lied to your mother, brother, uncle, aunt, sister, or that you're so sad you keep all the plastic containers, you know. And so now every time she comes around, they're like, you know, no. And my family are very good at sort of keeping everything very base level. You know, there's a cousin of mine that she... she's great. She's one of these annoying people that makes presents for Christmas. Mm. So you already hate her because she's made everything. You know, whereas I'm like throwing money at the problem. And one year she made these like the flapjack, she made these Florentine biscuits, wrapped them all up. And my mum was literally going, oh, it's delicious, Angela. You should really learn how to make these. You know, I'm like, are you kidding me? I've just cooked for you lot, like 30 people, and now you're all giving me shit about these bloody biscuits. I said, you're not part of our family yet. You haven't married yet. Anyway, so we have many days like that at our family. Anyway, sorry, digressing away.
Have you learned
there.
The Florentines, though?
No, I haven't.
No.
Give me a break. I've just literally cooked for them like a whole Christmas lunch and then they're bitching, make some biscuits. I said, are you kidding me? No, I haven't. I'll give you the recipe.
Thank you. I love Florentines.
Do you? Woo.
Yeah, they are good.
Yeah, they are good.
You should learn to make them.
And they were good. Thomas Fleischer. Thanks for that, Ed. Thanks, yeah. Mum will be pleased.
Got on the name of it, Thomas Fudge or Thomas J. Fudge's Florentines. I buy them for my family every Christmas.
I know the ones you mean.
I had them back. There was
as in the fudge people who make a finger of fudge. No, different company.
No.
It's like one of those companies where they've invented a man to make it sound posh.
Okay, yeah.
It's like Thomas J. Fudge written in like
he's got like a little,
that was his real signature.
Curly mustache and a bowler hat.
100 years ago. Yeah. Okay.
Is that right, Benito? Yeah, I had them backstage at a festival once.
Yeah,
it was in the tent that the comics had to wait in, and they had this plate of Florentines, and I went absolutely crazy.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I had one, I was like, I never want to stop eating these now.
Yeah,
now that's every Christmas.
You were on a high on stage, weren't you, Florentine high?
I was flying. I can't even remember the gig.
But I don't think there's been a gig where James hasn't been high on sugar
right,
at some point.
Okay, fair enough. You got really sweet tooth.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying. You're saying about if stuff's in the fridge, I'm having a really. I'm trying to get on top of it now.
Really?
I'm trying to be a bit more controlled. It's a running joke on this podcast of, well, one day your metabolism's going to give up on you and all this. It's happened.
We've all been waiting and we're very happy.
You've been exploded.
Now I've got to learn discipline, which I've never had to learn before.
No, hard that, isn't
never
it?
Never had to learn it because I've had fluky metabolism my whole life.
Mm.
And now I'm actually having to learn how to... not do stuff, not eat rubbish all the time.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
I haven't cracked it yet. Well, basically, not having anything in the house is good. And I also learned that as soon as I have one sweet thing in the day, that's it. Then
that's
the floodgates are open. So I have to just never...
And sweet as in crack. Like a cake or a biscuit, or do you just go and buy like chocolate and, or is it anything?
Kind of anything. Apart
Jeepers.
From, not sweets, sweets.
Not sweets.
I don't really like any of that. But like yesterday... I was working, I was on like a set for something and they kept on offering like biscuits and chocolate and stuff. And I was like, I've got to say no.
Yeah, fair enough.
My rule now is it has to be worth it. So if it's like something really special, great. Yeah.
Like yeah, your sister's okay. flapjacks.
Like the sister's flapjacks, yeah, in on that enough. Straight away. Yeah. If they go, do you want a breakaway bar? Nah. Between takes, not, I'm like, yeah. absolutely yeah. not.
That's the main
so,
hold up,
so what is your chocolate of choice, you see? Because I always, my friends make posh chocolate, and yeah. I always say it's too posh for me.
Right.
I like a flake or a Malteser. Mm, yeah. That's my level of chocolate. And I don't have much chocolate. I'm very rare. So what's your go-to chocolate
well,
bar?
Well, I quite like posh stuff. So actually,
you're a posh boy,
so that's,
kind of,
that's worked quite well for me, that I don't just go into a shop and get a Mars bar or anything, okay. even though they are nice. And I like those in the fridge.
Yes, yeah.
But, I mean, I've said on the podcast before that Whittaker's is a New Zealand brand.
Yeah.
And, like, their peanut butter chocolate is probably still my favourite chocolate.
Really? Okay.
That's good as well, because it feels posh, but it has also got the yeah. level of sweetness yeah, that you yeah, would find in,
exactly,
like, a regular
yeah,
chocolate
yeah.
bar.
You need
so
that,
it's got
yeah.
that, yeah.
A lot of their stuff I like. And Ed's got me into the Chocolonely, the Tony's Chocolonely.
Tony's Chocolonely. Love that stuff.
Tony's Chocolonely. Yeah. That sounds like Tony's Chocolonely. Yeah. yeah. Okay, yeah.
And recently, Hotel Chocolat got in touch and were really spoilt as rotten.
Yeah, I
and
bet.
I got to do like a little day in their kitchen and like make some chocolate with them. And also, they sent me like a box of. I just got to go on the website and go crazy. yeah. And that was
tick,
like
tick tick yeah. tick.
And they emailed yeah. me and said, "We sent James some stuff. What would you like? Anything?" And I go, "Just send me exactly what James had. I want exactly the same." This huge box of stuff arrives. I was like, "Oh my god, are you kidding me?" But I've been on tour, so yeah. obviously I get frequent texts from my wife going. Is it possible? Could I have a look at the Hotel Chocolat box? I'm like, yeah, fine. But all I want to taste each one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So don't eat all of anything.
Don't, yeah, exactly.
So I get back off tour, and all of these boxes are sat there with literally one chocolate left in all of them. I'm like, right, I suppose you did stick to the rule.
Yeah, yeah, that was the rule. That was what you said. That
like
was the deal.
The mice have been at them. Yeah, exactly. Oh, bless her cotton socks. Yeah.
Your dream side dish.
Sounds really boring, but I love it. Green beans, but different types of green. Like, you've got the flat beans coming in now, runner beans, just your normal green beans. I'd love beans. Mm-hmm. I love that. And there's this great thing. It will be coming in soonish, fresh almonds. Now I'm getting, you talk about the water, this is getting all chefy and posh and poncy. Like fresh almonds that you crack them out of their little shells and stuff. You put those on there. And I like it with basil and peaches, bizarrely.
Oh.
That's, but in season, when you've got great beans, fresh peaches is as sweet as anything, these almonds, and just a really great mustardy vinaigrette. It's a dish in itself,
yeah.
but it's absolutely delicious as a side as well. We put it as a dish on the restaurant. It just works.
Yeah.
Because the peaches are never so sweet. You know, they are sweet and they're ripe, but you've got those beans and it's got to all be at room temperature. Can't have anything from the fridge. And, you know, a nice bit of salt, lovely bit of pepper. You can even put a little bit of lovage in there if you want to be a little controversial with your herbs. So all that sort of stuff I love. Anything fresh with beans. Mm.
So are the almonds like fresh and raw? So they've got a bit of bite to them.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those things now that absolutely they still have a season. You know, they will come in, and chefs hate it if you put it on the menu, because they literally have to get a hammer and hammer into these almonds, and they're like, are you kidding us? And you get, like, literally a wafer thin this almond. I'm like, oh, yeah, we need about 10 in a salad. They're like, are you kidding me?
Great.
You know, you talk about the mash and stuff. Yeah. This is like, give this job to someone who's, like, annoyed you. Here you can do the box of almonds today.
Add them to the menu now.
Yeah, exactly,
in
yeah. So, I love those sort of things. But, yeah, they're a pain, but they are a seasonal thing, so you can't buy them anywhere else. You can't buy them in the supermarket. They just come out one time a year.
Mm.
So I'm getting a bit posh and chefy and poncy. Sorry about that.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. And the peaches?
Yeah.
Are you cooking them down, or are they going on raw as well?
Raw, absolutely raw.
Texturally, they a bit
proper
bite to them
ripe
as well.
In the season. It's one of my pet hates is unripe tomatoes and unripe fruit,
mm-hmm.
and that's partly because I'll be honest, I've been spoilt. You know, when we used to go on holiday to Italy and stuff, you know, it's ripe and it's delicious. And I remember one summer I'd always go off to my aunt's place, and she lived by the sea and stuff, and we'd always have ripe peaches. And then one summer they said, "This is all we've seen you all summer is with a peach in your mouth," you know, because they're just the best. And, you know, again, it's the sweetness, the season, and so delicious. So, yeah, raw, nicely thinly sliced, you know, and then mix that all with the, you know, like a bit of Dijon there in the vinaigrette.
Mm,
like, you know, so it's good. Yeah, delicious.
When is the season?
Peaches won't really start till August time. And it goes against a lot of the morals of sustainability, because you do have to import. much as our weather is changing. I don't think we're a country that can grow peaches. We're getting better with tomatoes. But yeah, in the next sort of couple of months, and almonds will be coming in the next couple of months as well.
So if I book to come to your restaurant in August, then I'll probably get that
result. Make sure.
Now it's going to be full of everyone who listens to this podcast. Yeah. Well, so you're going to be there. You'll be swamped by the fans, man.
Yeah. Well, that's fine, as long as I've got my big bowl of green beans.
Yeah.
As long as you've got a big bowl of green beans. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're going to have a rush on green beans now.
Yeah, that'll be it.
They're going to hate me about those almonds.
So many almonds. The whole dining room wants almonds.
They'll be sending them back going, but she said 10. There's not 10 in here. It's only like 2. Yeah.
And who's crying in the kitchen?
Yeah. Poor
bugger. The almond king.
Almond king, yeah, exactly. We'll stick him next to the parsley king and the mushroom.
Yeah. Nice to hear Dijon Mustard getting a shout out there.
Love Dijon Mustard. Love English, but I love Dijon.
Well, let's rank the mustards then.
Yeah, we can do it.
Oh, God. Got to be Dijon.
Yeah.
I'd have to say that. Dijon first. I love English mustard. I think that's a great one. And actually, because I'm quite traditionally, so like I said about, I don't like my pineapple on the peach. So I don't like all these fancy mustards as well. Mm-hmm. You know, keep a mustard is like whole grain after that. And probably they're my three, really. Mm. Horseradish isn't really a mustard, is it? You know, it's a condiment rather than mustard, yeah. What other ones? I'm trying to think. What other ones? They're my three in the fridge.
French's hot dog mustard.
Oh, the really God. Bright to yellow be fair, stuff. Yeah, we do have a jar of that in the fridge. Yeah, I do like that. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, I'd put that above the whole grain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might do the same. I go through phases with whole grain.
Yeah, I'm like that. Yeah. I sort of, they work with certain things, like you might put it in potato salad or something. But to be fair, Dijon, if I don't have that, because we put it in vinaigrettes, I put it on anything. And I love it with anything, actually. Yeah. I think that's my favourite, yeah.
Yeah, I got a jar of whole grain in the cupboard. I don't remember buying it. I'm not really sure.
Care package with the anchovies,
maybe it was snuck in there. But I've got to figure out is there a whole grain and anchovy recipe I can do?
I can't say, but it does work with things like, do you like pickled fish or anything like that? Not really.
Well, I've had it in like restaurants and stuff and it's nice, but yeah,
that sort of thing. I think like potato salad, it works.
Yeah.
And it does work in dressings. You can put it in dressings. We have been known to put it in a vinaigrette when we've run out of every other mustard and can't be bothered to walk around to the supermarket.
I would have it on a like a gammon sandwich.
Oh, like good call. Good sandwich. Call.
Yeah, that's
a very good call, actually. Yeah.
Actually, that's what when I did my gammon joint, I think I just put Dijon on it. But yeah. That was a nice day in lockdown. Did myself a gammon joint, and I sent Ed the photo.
And what did it look like?
It's delicious. Well, I sent Ed the photo of it bubbling in the pot, actually.
Nice.
Because you couldn't see the joint, but you could see all the different things I put in the pot. I sent it to Ed going, guess what is in here?
It says, guess what is in here?
Someone's head, a rabbit.
Yeah.
What did you serve it with? Did you do the whole parsley? Well, maybe you didn't do parsley sauce because of the trauma of parsley.
I remember what I did, and it was very decadent.
Really?
Again, this is a perk of the podcast.
Yeah.
But we had shouted out Simon Rogan's Birkswell pudding at Alice. We'd shouted that out on the podcast.
Yeah.
He had very generously sent us a lot of them that we could make at home.
Yeah.
So I literally, I think I've still got the photo on my phone.
Yeah.
I just sat there and ate loads of Birkswell puddings with the gammon joint that I got Dijon with. And I was in heaven.
Loved it.
I was there on the sofa. Just like, this is the best day of my life.
Yeah.
It was great.
I had a really nice bit of gammon at St. John, actually, quite recently.
Nice.
With the parsley sauce and all
that. Oh, I love it. And cabbage.
Oh, so
boiled
good.
Boiled cabbage. Yeah. It's the best.
And sat there in that dining room just feeling like you're in the 19th century.
It is, yes. Love yes. It. Yeah, feels like it, yeah. That is like proper old school English cooking, but it's I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to get over the parsley gate, to be fair, James.
I try to.
Can't not have gammon without parsley sauce.
I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but my grandma every year used to do a massive gammon, and then you'd eat it for breakfast on Christmas morning and have it like the next day and stuff. Really good. And then she passed away a few years ago, and I was like, right, I'm doing it. And I spent ages on it, and it was rubbish. And it all just it fell apart, I think, in the pan or something. Like, it wasn't tied up properly.
Mm.
So I had two halves. I was like, right, I'm going to do them differently. I'm going to do one half with a different glaze and another half with a different glaze. And both of them were rubbish.
And you've never done it since?
No, I'm going to try again. But
you've got to get back on the horse.
I had to buy such a big pan.
Yeah.
And then we didn't have room for the pan, so I had to give the pan away. So now I've got to get another pan.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember the disaster of the gammon. I didn't know it had emotional roots. It was linked to your grandma.
Yes.
So I didn't know this, so I was laughing when Ed was having a bad time with it. I thought she'll, it'd be
she'll be laughing about it as well. Don't you worry.
She'll
think it's hilarious.
But we all have those desires. I remember cooking one year, trying to be fancy for Christmas, and I cooked duck, or was it goose? I'd cook one or the other. And then for some, I don't know what possessed me, left it in like a turkey. I mean, they literally were there going, has anyone got any Peking sauce or got any pancakes? It was so dry.
Wow.
And it was just, I just, and like Neil was going, what on earth? I said, I don't know. And it was like, it's like it shriveled to this and it started like this. Mum goes, she goes, I think next year we'll just stick to chicken. Thanks, Mum. Thanks for that. Anyway, it's happened to all of us.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, man, that's what I should have to know. It's duck fillets, either duck breast.
I love the way the mind works, just random, you know.
And out loud as well.
Yeah.
You can still have it with your anchovies and broccoli.
My girlfriend doesn't like duck. And I've always got some duck breast in the freezer. And then I always remember when she's away, get it out, or out, have another duck breast.
How are you cooking your duck breast?
I do it in the frying pan. So put them in.
Cold pan?
Cold pan.
Cold pan.
So put the oil in, spread it around, fat side down, and then put the hob on.
Yeah. Do you score your duck breast?
Yeah, I'll score it. 10 out of 10.
Walked into that one, didn't I?
But no, I do score it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I put salt and pepper on it. Yep. Also, on the meaty side, put a little bit of Liam Perrins.
Ooh,
and,
fancy.
A little bit of lemon.
Ooh.
And 8 minutes fat side, 5 minutes the other side. And if it needs it, you put it on its side as well and lean them against each other in a little, like it made a little...
Like they're a gang.
They're a little gang. Lean them like that. Leave them to rest for a while.
Yeah, nice.
Then have it with some bird's eye potato waffles.
But I do that. I'd spend ages on duck breast making amazing duck and stuff. And then I'd have it with instant packet noodles.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Love it.
Go for it.
So good.
Yeah. Right.
I wouldn't put oil in the pan. That's the only difference.
Yeah, I wonder. Oh. Yeah, I'm not an oil in the pan. Dry pan, yeah. So much fat from the duck breast.
It's what the old website told me to do. So
what the old website. Yeah,
so
okay.
I just did it. Just did what the website told me.
But if it works for you, works for you.
What website?
I can't remember. I Googled duck breast.
The old website.
Yeah, during lockdown, I was like, I really want some duck. So I'm going to make it at home.
Yeah.
And that's what I guess it was just the top result or whatever.
Love it.
Or the one that the photo looked the nicest.
Yeah. This is a website for an oil company.
Yeah. Now, this next one, this is one chefs probably struggle with the most. In fact, most chefs have a drink for every single course of the meal.
Oh, crikey, the drinks, yes.
They kind of find a loophole and do that because they want their... And you've already said this would be one of the hardest things to quit would be booze.
Yes.
But so dream drink.
Red wine would be the one.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'd love it. Like I do like a glass of the old bubbles, or I love a Negroni. I think it's a cocktail of choice. I love a Negroni, and I think that's brilliant. But I think I would go red wine. I'd go Italian red, and I would go from Piemonte rather than Tuscany. So some of the Barolos or Barbarescos up there. And just not, I always say when I buy wine, I don't want it so strong, like medium. I don't want that sort of heavy thud, heaviness the next day. And a wine that you can also drink with your supper, but also you can just have a great glass of wine.
Yeah.
Just have a great glass of wine, you know. And also, given that I'm not a dessert, unlike you, I'm not a sweet tooth.
I'm nervous.
It with cheese, you see. I like the follow-on that you can have wine at a meal that, you know, look my God. Yeah. I might just taxi for one. I mean, the around this table.
I'm on board. I agree. I love a Barolo. I love a Barbaresco. Like, all of those. I mean, Italian red is just fantastic.
And I think the great thing about Italian wine... James has gone into a coma now over there at the mention of cheese. Is that it's, you know, you can have the big fancy reds that are really big money, whereas you can get actually some great Italian wines that are really affordable and just delicious. And there's some brilliant suppliers in London now that just bring them all in. So am I okay with that, James?
I had a lovely
bottle. I don't know how I'm meant to relax now, because now I'm worried that there's going to be no dessert.
We're talking about wine.
Cheese
don't
and biscuits.
Worry, we're talking about wine. You like your red wine. Yeah, you like
it's a bit
right.
of red wine.
But not when I'm nervous that there's maybe not a pudding coming around the corner now.
I had a lovely bottle of Nebbiolo the other day.
Oh, nice.
From right up in the mountains
the border
of Switzerland.
Top.
Yeah. Very,
that
very
would
good.
Work. Yeah. No, definitely. I love that sort of stuff.
Are you looking at the desserts in the back of... in the back of the Weekend Cook.
Strawberry
ice cream here. Oh, that looks little floating islands.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. I haven't brought that.
This looks amazing. A creme anglaise.
Yeah, you see? I do
meringue and caramel.
I make them if, Kev, you came round for supper, James, I'd make sure there was dessert. You know, you're a guest.
Pump Street chocolate mousse here.
Yeah.
Poached apricots with ricotta.
He's loving it.
This is delicious. A gâteau basque.
Yeah. You can have that in a couple of days as well.
Like a prune pie?
Yeah, pretty much.
You're going to read out all the desserts, are you?
Paris just start at the beginning, you know, the whole thing.
Paris breast, praline paste and caramelised hazelnuts with choux pastry, chocolate sauce, finished with double cream
and ice.
I'd say
Paris breast, maybe. Yeah. Paris breast just sounds...
It says Paris breast. I'm reading what it says. I'm not a proofreader.
Would you like to ask Angela the question, James? Yeah. Let's stop putting it off.
This is a big thing for him, the puddings, isn't it?
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
And if,
have you two had an argument occasionally about
I've never
pudding?
Had an argument, okay. But there has been arguments on the podcast before,
really?
Depending on what people
We've
pick.
Had arguments in real
I mean,
life. When we went to Tom Kerridge's place and you ordered cheese and biscuits.
There was like a little glare over, I felt then, from James. He just came over me.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
We went to Kerridge's Bar and Grill and I had cheese and biscuits for dessert and it didn't go down well. James threatened to throw me into Trafalgar Square.
Which, you know.
Okay.
I will make the same threat to you, Angela. And it's a longer distance from here. Kevin's
really
Bar and Grill is only down the road from Trafalgar
Square.
Could
have just tripped him up and he would have been in the square.
And this is
crossing town. We're crossing bridges here.
I could just lob you over on the Shard if you like. That's where we are at the minute.
Jesus crikey, the aggression on a Friday.
Yes,
yeah,
a lot of aggression here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a bit nervous to ask. I probably don't want to ask. Dream dessert.
A dream dessert. I do have a dream dessert.
You do?
I do, yeah. I would love to slip a cheese course in if I was allowed.
Yeah, you
have
to slip a cheese course in. I would allow people to do that.
I would like, because you're drinking your red wine and it'd be nice to finish it with cheese. Yeah. And we do it the way, I never can remember. We have it. I'd like the cheese first, then the dessert. But I love, my favourite all-time dessert is a vanilla tart.
Ooh.
And I think one of the best people that make it is a guy called Gary Usher up north, makes an amazing vanilla tart. And it has to have that little wobble, you know, when you sort of shake it and it's just... The reason I like it is because it's not overly sweet and it's got two things I like. I love pastry, you know, sweet pastry is fine. So it's cooked like a biscuit. And then I love vanilla. That's one of my favourite things ever. And then the nutmeg on top. And when I was working years ago back in the day for Gordon, you know, we were working so many hours, but, you know, they used to have these vanilla creme brulees and vanilla rice pudding. That if they would go on the staff shelf when they weren't being used, and I'd go in at 7 a.m. because you're exhausted. You talk about your sugar ass, I'd get my spoon out and I'd stand there in the fridge just eating the rice pudding and the creme brulee, give me like a sugar vanilla rush.
Yeah.
And I'd come back out and go, right, here we go. You know, but so vanilla for me, you know, and proper vanilla, none of that, you know, vanilla essence, you know, you've got it. I mean, it's not cheap, but that sort of thing. And my other thing is, if I'm allowed, James, I mean, I'm very respectful. I'm a guest in your house. You see, if I don't want to have the dessert and I want something sweet, we do this thing in Italy called Vin Santo. So it's like a little liqueur. And I bought you some sweet little treats for you.
Oh, wow.
So because, although it's stuck because they were hot out the oven today. So I bought you some madeleines from Neil's place because Neil's helped Doe write this book as much as me.
Thank you so much.
And then you have your sweetness with a little sweet wine, you see.
Yeah.
Without having to have a full dessert. I mean, that could help you wean yourself off, you see.
Yeah.
Still a little bit of sweetness, but not quite, you know.
Don't tell him that, though.
That's probably
don't
what.
Don't tell him that, though. He'll turn up at the next podcast absolutely pissed out of his mind, going, I've had another bottle of Insanto on the way here. I'm weaning myself off. I'm weaning.
Anyway, I'll leave you to enjoy.
Thank you so much. That's a pleasure.
So I would, you know, if I'm honest, I'm allowed to be, I would probably go for more a little bit of sugar and then, you know, cheese.
Yeah.
But, you know, my all-time is my vanilla tart. I love a vanilla tart.
What about, it feels like a special meal, a bit of cheese.
Yeah, a bit of cheese,
which we can go into in a bit. Yeah. James won't listen. Vanilla tart.
Yeah.
And then some of these... And a little bit of Insanto and a little coffee at the end.
Loving that.
Yeah.
No, I'm all over that.
That's
great.
Yes, lovely.
Loving that. Yeah, that's
actually,
great.
Actually, Murano, your restaurant, you can make a choice where you have
Yeah.
A lot of courses.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can have your cheese, you can have dessert, you can have two desserts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. So you could come and you could allow, you know, Ed to have his cheese course.
Yeah.
You could take a walk around the block if you wanted while he ate it. And then you could have your two courses to, you know, two desserts together,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, lovely.
You know, would that work?
Yeah, that would work for me. As long as I don't have to look at him when he's eating his...
That's what I mean, yeah, just walk around the block, you know, go and have a cigarette.
I don't mind if he has a dessert after the cheese course like you're doing. I mean, that's not, that seems nice to me when people have a cheese course and have a dessert.
Right, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, nice.
You know,
obviously, that's my choice, but I think a lot of the time it's socially frowned upon.
Yeah,
well, you know, it's more frowned upon when you have it instead of a dessert. I think that's where you just not living life.
What cheeses would you like on your little cheese course?
Well, I love one of my favourite cheeses. It is Vacherin. You know that one you get in the winter time when it melts and then you can dunk a potato in it. See, I just like keeping the savoury going. That's my thing. That I love. And I do like a bit of the old cheddar, not quite the old orange one. Love a bit of Gorgonzola, anything. Well, Patricia does it best, doesn't she? La Fromagerie.
Yeah.
That shop in London that does great cheeses. And I think I always say to her, just give us a selection. And, you know, but I think Britain, we make some incredible cheeses. Yeah. And we always do this thing at home, like Burns Supper, where we do the haggis. And yeah, he's eating them all. He's not even offering you one, is he?
It's quarter past 12. He's already said earlier that if he starts, then
he's gone.
Come off.
The eyes have glazed.
Yeah, they have. They genuinely have.
They have genuinely glazed.
They're like a pair of Krispy Kreme donuts, his eyes.
I'm not listening to your cheese chat.
Yeah, because you look like the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland.
There you go.
Thank you so much for bringing this.
You see, the thing is, if you went to the French, you know, we're talking about, you get, you know, Neil's place, you know, this is what I do. We might not have a dessert, but we'll have a nice tray of madeleines.
Yeah.
Fresh out of the oven.
Marzipan, what's that?
Oh, that's Ricciarelli, so it's little almond. I like you. You've got your palate there. Yeah. Almonds in there. Yeah.
That is good stuff.
Yeah.
Do you want a glass of this for you?
Yeah, you that's might. Up. Yeah, we'd have
fill
to
me up.
Fill you up.
No. That's the first thing I've eaten today.
Oh, gosh.
We know how to divide this up. I'll be taking this home. The Vin Santo's coming straight back to mine.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Put it in your fridge. Have a nice chilled glass later when you're back from your gig. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Have I been forgiven for saying the cheese thing?
All is forgiven.
All right, good.
And I genuinely didn't hear a word of the actual cheese conversation.
No, you didn't. Two hoots
about it. Yeah.
Don't know what you said. Could have said anything.
There's one in town that's like a cheese conveyor belt thing that we've been asked. That he wouldn't come.
No, yeah. I'd stand by the conveyor belt. I'd punch at each cheese as it went past. What I'd do.
No, but you like cheese. Cheesy mash.
Yeah, I like cheese.
Yeah, so, you
know. Cheese.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's not in place of dessert.
Understood. Point taken. Got
thing.
It.
Yeah, there's loads of things I like.
Yeah, got it.
But we're not, like, but, you know.
Nothing in place of dessert.
I love films. I love watching films.
But not in place of dessert.
No, obviously.
You know, I love my family. But not in place of dessert.
You've got your league table of things and dessert are at the top.
Yeah, we understand.
And then films and then family.
Yeah.
There you go. Here we go. I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it.
Okay.
You've got sparkling water.
Yeah.
You would like Corrigan soda bread and focaccia.
Yeah.
Starter, you would like puttanesca pasta.
Yeah.
Main course, roast chicken with sage and onion stuffing.
Yeah.
Side dish of green beans with fresh almonds, basil, peaches, and a mustardy vinaigrette.
Yeah.
Drink, Barbaresco Italian.
Yeah.
Red wine.
Yes. Red wine.
You know the word wine, James.
Yeah. Yes. And you would like your cheese course with that as well.
Yeah.
Dessert, Garrioche's vanilla tart.
Yeah.
And then followed by Vinsanto and Madeleines.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. I'm happy with that.
That sounds very
really,
nice.
Really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And many of these things, of course, we could get the recipe for from The Weekend Cook.
Certain things. Yeah, not the Madeleines. We're not giving those away. You have to come to the restaurant. But yeah, definitely. Yeah, of course. Yeah, thank you. It's been great.
Thank you very much, Angela.
Thank you, Angela.
Well, there we are. That was a great episode, wasn't it?
That was a wonderful episode. Everything that I like from an off-menu episode there. Food chat, laughs, someone who's very nice and kind, although also sees us for the idiots we are.
Yes, perfect. And it had all the jeopardy of skirting close to a cheese board, so you got really angry, but then it was a proper dessert. And then when Angela pulled out the box of actual sweet treats, I've never seen anyone more satisfied in my life than you at that point.
Yeah.
It was literally like she was trying to placate a child. because you were all angry and upset and you got all cross.
Yeah.
And then she went, okay, have a little cake. And you're like, yeah. Fuck you, Angela.
Yeah, that was what it was like. Yeah. And also, like, you know, it was like I was watching a film and like the end was going to be like a really sad end. I was like, oh, no. And then it's like, no, it's the happiest ending you could hope.
Yes, yes. You should get Angela's book, everyone. The Weekend Cook, Good Food for Real Life. That is out tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the day it's out. It's out on the 25th of May, 2022. Published by Bloomsbury Absolute, and it's in hardback when it comes out. It looks absolutely amazing. I cannot wait to cook some stuff from it.
Yes.
And Angela didn't say kidney beans. That's why it was a perfect episode for me, James. No kidney beans were mentioned.
That would have been a very sad twist to this particular episode if we'd had to kick Angela out of the restaurant.
Horrible pasty beanie twist.
Yeah, yeah. Hate kidney beans. May they... do you know what? No.
Leave all that in?
Ah, oh, no. Also, you heard Ed talking about the flapjacks that my sister sent over to him. Fabjacks Bakery is the name of the company. You can get fabjacksbakery.co.uk. That is where you can order the flapjacks from if you would like them sent to your house anywhere in the UK. I'm very excited.
Honestly, it was such a treat to get home and they were there yesterday. And you know you're going to get... There's a proper like weight to them as well because there's so... They've got flavour and just so much stuff going on in them. And that I'm thinking about that chilli and lime one right now. I'm annoyed it's at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I only had a little chunk of each yesterday. Yeah. So I was like, it's pretty late. I shouldn't be eating massive bits of flapjack now, but I wanted to taste all of them. So I had a little sort of taste. It was like little corners. But I hope when I go home from this leg of the tour that there is some chilli and lime left.
And among her repertoire is the Bakewell flapjacks that I attempted and failed to make on the Great British Bake Off. How it should be done.
Yes, that's good. That's a good angle.
Yeah.
That's really strong. Go and get some flapjacks.
Yes.
And after you've eaten your flapjacks, come and see me on tour. I'm starting the extension of my tour in September, right through to November, going to lots of places, including a big date at the Hammersmith Apollo on the 22nd of October, edgamble.co.uk for tickets.
It's going to be the place to be, man. I can feel it. I can already feel the atmos before you take the stage.
All the movers and shakers are going to be there.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be fizzing. I went to see Joel Dommett there, and Larry Lamb was in the audience. So you don't know what's going
to
happen.
Who knows? Maybe Lamb will be in the audience for me.
Yeah, maybe.
Joel got him on stage to pretend to be a drummer.
Yeah, he did.
Drummer.
But I really liked how you said drummer.
Joel got him on stage to pretend to be a drummer.
Yeah, he did.
I think we're both like our brains are just dust this morning. So
yeah, that's it. We can't. I couldn't say red wine earlier. You can't say drummer.
Drummer.
That's it. A drummer.
And of course, many, many restaurants get mentioned and recommended on the Off Menu podcast. And I must stress, we do keep a record of all of those there on the website offmenupodcast.co.uk. Go and look at the little menu for things, menu. We're on menu on the website. There is a menu. And you click restaurants, and there's a list of where the restaurants are. And then you will need to go through those and look at them, and then they are recommended. Just saying that. Don't message Benito to ask what the restaurants were.
Yeah.
Don't message us to ask what the restaurants were. There is a list there. And to the person who messaged me the other day saying, I'm going to New York. I've looked at the list of restaurants on the Off Menu website, but could you recommend particular restaurants off that list? No.
No.
No, I
think,
can't.
I think at the end of the day, at some point, you have to know what you like.
You're going to have to take responsibility for your own holiday. I'm sorry. All of the stuff that's recommended on the website will be nice, but you might need to narrow it down based on your own taste.
And it will say who's recommended each one.
Yes.
So you can go like... Oh, you know, Bob Mortimer.
Yeah.
Do I have a similar taste to him? Asma Khan? You know, so you can think about, you know, what kind of person's recommended it. Maybe that would correspond to you as well.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you again next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, well, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.